Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Danny McDermott Show, episode something. It's a lot. We've done a lot. I'm very excited. I'm actually doing the show from John Lennon's old mansion that he used to own in Hollywood. Actually, it's in the Valley, so it's not really Hollywood, but yeah, whatever. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We are bi-coastal today, as I said. I'm in Los Angeles, where the temperature's hot, and so is the COVID. Back on the East Coast, as always, is the one and only Kevin Fitzgerald. Kevin, how was your week?
It was a nice week, Danny.
Yeah, really? That's it? That's all you got to give?
It was a nice week.
Hey, look, I'm glad to see you, buddy. I'm a little bit jet lagged. I was very happy with last week's show. We had Danny Lobel, and we did some improv with Greg Proops from Whose Line Is It Anyway? The legend. I got to do improv. Ah, crazy.
It was great.
Anyway, tonight's show is going to be amazing. We've got Michael Cicciola and Brian Scott McFadden.
I'm excited, Danny.
I can always tell, Kevin. I can always tell. I know there's a few more viewing options for all you guys out there tonight. So I just want to thank you all for attending our show. We do appreciate it, especially since we are doing it on Inauguration Day. So apparently, Kevin didn't call Biden. I don't know why you didn't, Kevin. I'm sure he would have moved it for us.
I tried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You sound like you tried, Kevin. You really do. You really do. All right. You know what? That's okay. We're not a political show, so let's stop talking about politics right now. Okay. I hate politics. Politics is that little thing they do every 4 years to rile us up, make us crazy, make us angry. And, you know, we eat it up. I don't think we should hear about politics for at least 6 or 7 years. At least. I'm done. I'm after all this, the inauguration and everything, I'm like, oh my God, I have a life. Right, Kevin? We have a life again. Kevin,
do we really?
Dude, seriously, every 4 years they treat us like a gang of puppies, don't they? They're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Are you guys ready for an election? Are you ready for election? Come on, are you ready? Come on, come on. You want to, are you ready? Politics, huh? And we're all like, yeah, yeah, what, yeah, politics. Red. Oh, geez, I lost my glasses there. Blue. That's a big dog. We're like insane for months. We're like screaming and yelling. We're fighting. We're, you know, and then we just, and all of a sudden the inauguration, we're like, eh. And it's like we were dropped off by aliens who just probed us and we have no idea what we're doing with our lives. You know, we're like, oh, the election's over. Oh, there are other things to talk about. You know what I mean?
Kevin, yeah, we get to go back to disagreeing with our fellow Americans instead of just hating them.
Right. It's the American way. Anyway, so
true.
On the Danny McDermott show, we do things a little bit differently. So instead of Inauguration Day, we've decided we would host our own inaugurations instead, our own way to do it. Like happy inauguration day. That's when you get married and both of you move into your spouse's parents' place to save some money, but your whole world changes because suddenly they're in charge of your entire schedule. Make sure you're in time for dinner. It's promptly at 4:30, right after Jeopardy.
Don't be late. We're having mush.
I'll tell you, Kevin, living with your parents does save money on rent, but you wind up spending it at the chiropractor from sleeping on that musty old couch with a bar, you know, the fold out bar, you know, like you lay on that for like a week and your diaphragm is like, fuck this, I'm done. And you're like, and you can't breathe. It's horrible.
Better than my IKEA futon.
Is it? Is it, Kevin?
It is. My spinal column does an impression of Florida. It's just got to be seen to be believed.
So does my dick. Anyway, we're also celebrating happy Inauguration Day to celebrate all things Naugahyde.
Well, that's nice.
Every long day, you put the old bark lounger from the basement, put your feet up, you know. It's a chair that says, touch me, I squeak. Problem is you can't sit on it for longer than a minute because my entire body would be stuck to the chair. Apparently, I sit on this chair naked. This is the writer setting me up right here. I mean, why would my skin, if I have clothes on, my skin's not going to be stuck. All right. Yes, I sit on bark loungers naked. It's just my thing. But have you ever done that, Kevin? Have you ever sat on a bark lounger for like you get up and like your skin like peels off? Have you ever had that happen?
No.
You've never had it happen? Well, no. I'm the only one who sits on bark loungers naked anyway. Anyway, I told you not to sit on the bark lounger. Your balls are going to get stuck. They did. Anyway. According to the National Day calendar, it's Penguin Awareness Day.
I have no idea what that means, Danny, but hooray awareness.
Well, I mean, I think that we need to be aware of penguins. Number one, I think it's maybe what it, I mean, I don't know how we celebrate. Is that where we go to the zoo and make eye contact with a penguin? You know what I mean? I'm aware of you. I am aware of you. You know, what if I feel a connection with a penguin? I'm like, oh my God, he sees into my soul. You know, what if he's a dark, angry, what if he's like a goth penguin, like a dark, angry penguin, you know? And he stares at me and I just feel violated. I'm like, you know, what if I realize I'm going off on this, Kevin? I don't care. What if I realize that I'm staring at that penguin's soul and I realize that my only chance for true love can only be fulfilled by an Antarctic waterfowl? What's going to happen to me, Kevin?
We can only hope that he's kind. Did you know that male penguins actually, they woo female penguins with rocks? It's actually a trait they share with female gold diggers and crackheads.
Really?
The size of the rock makes a difference, Danny.
Hopefully they're not pop rocks. I have zero to woo with. What is that? Why would a writer write that for me? I have zero to woo with. Like, I have no nuts. I have no rock. Is that what you're saying, writers?
They probably got
I'm gonna stand up for myself.
Chair.
I'm going to stand up for myself against the writers. What?
They're still on the chair, Danny. They were stuck to the chair. You don't have them. You used to have them.
Who left their nuts on the Barkalanger? Who left their ripped off nuts on the Barkalanger?
The kids put their feet up on them? What are they for? I don't understand.
Oh, my God. How are you going to explain that to the doctor? What happened?
you gotta, this guy's into that cleanliness. He brought his own chair.
You sat on a Barkalanger naked? Are you insane? Are you insane? How can you sit on a Barkalanger naked with your nuts there? Are you crazy? I used lotion. Anyway.
but now you know where ottomans come from.
We are really going off track here. Back to the penguins. How did we go from penguins to nuts on a Barkalanger? Anyway, the good thing is now we can understand a penguin's thought process because we have our mind reading technologies for animals, our animal mind reading technology that nobody else has. We can hear what they're saying. Let's hear what the penguins are saying.
Animal mind reading technology.
Bird is a word. Hey guys, let's party. Come on, man. What's
North
going on?
North Rock Harbor Penguins awesome. And South Rock Harbor Penguins.
Oh,
this one
so
is
formal.
Obviously
feel like
one of the South Rock Harbors.
I feel so special.
That's not Reginald.
This is great.
This is disgusting what he's doing.
Someone put a muzzle on him. Someone slip him a
quaalude.
I hear he's back from rehab again.
Let's do shots. Shoot him with a tranquilizer dart. Shot. Riding the pony. Riding the pony.
So much for a
dignified. Hey, what is this for anyway? Does anybody know? None of us knows. It's crazy.
That's like... that's. We all have had that friend at the party.
That was
we've all had that friend.
Some of us have been that guy.
I don't know if you ever were that guy, Kevin. You were more like the tortoise walking across the floor slowly.
No, I was a young one.
Oh, back when you were drinking, you mean? Yeah, okay, yeah, I could see that. Okay, Kevin, are you a little down today? You seem like you're feeling blue. I mean, is something getting your goat because it's National Cheese Day? Huh? Today you can indulge in a delightful array of cheeses while you sit and fondue nothing.
Doesn't sound like a very good a time.
Yeah, I get it, Kevin. It's nacho type of day.
I see what you did there, Danny, and I don't like it.
That's okay, Kevin. That's okay. I'm going with the puns, man. But this National Cheese Day is very special because 2021 is already bringing in some big changes in Australia with a very controversial cheese name that's getting a rebrand this year. And you can see why.
Ah.
A horribly named packaged cheese called Coon has been widely available on Australian market shelves since 1949, but now it will be changing its name.
Who the hell for even 30 seconds thought that was a good name?
Well, you know what? They didn't, it wasn't, a, you know, they didn't think of it that way. You know, they say they named it after an American cheesemaker, Edward William Coon, and it was not intended to be a racial slur against the Australian black and Aboriginal communities, you know?
That seems like a pretty big stretch to me, Danny, to be honest.
You're right. All those cheesemakers are racist. I always said you're racist. Okay, I mean all cheese is white. What's up with that? Anyway, so this week they announced they would be finally changing the name to from Coon cheese to Cheer cheese.
That's right? Much better. I like the grilled cheese without the extra racism.
It's a big seller in the South, though. They said that the name change came about after recent Black Lives Matter protests and criticism from a professor who said it was unacceptable as a brand in 2020. So apparently it's unacceptable in 2020, but Not in 1949. Like the early 2000s were cool. That was okay. Yeah, back then. Oh yeah, yeah, it's totally good. You know, that is definitely a failed product name if I've ever heard one, which has led us to do some research, and we found some more failed products that could use a major overhaul.
Failed product names.
Shortest intro ever, by the way, which is my fault. I should have done some more verbal gymnastics. Anyway, so the first one is another product from Australia. Rest Munchies.
Danny, I don't see anything wrong with this name.
I get you, Kevin. I get you. But I imagine some people might find it a little bit risque. You know, I mean, these aren't just regular chicken nuggets. These ones are all breast meat. So, you know, but so I get it. You know, it's all breast meat. So, you know, when you're stoned and in the mood for breasts, and who isn't, let's be honest, you know, grab a bag of breast munchies.
I like the name.
I know you do. You've expressed that very clearly, Kevin. But think about this. What do they do for the ladies, though? I mean, maybe testicle tenders? A treat from down under?
You know, now it makes a little more sense to me why we don't want it.
Yeah, me too. anyway. For the next one, we went down the candy aisle and found the number one candy bar in Sweden. Plop. Why would you name a chocolate bar Plop? It already looks like a turd.
Well, maybe turd was already taken.
Yeah, well, maybe it sounds like it may. Maybe that's the sound it makes when you're in the bathroom a few hours later.
Listen, millions of Swedes can't be wrong. Remember, they also like ABBA, which does sound a little bit better, quite frankly.
I don't even know what that means. What is ABBA? What is, There's no fecal matter associated with that, but that's okay. I'll tell you what, it's better than the next one, Nut Kick.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pass. No Nut Kick for me, thank you.
You don't want a Nut Kick, Kevin? I mean, why would you want a Nut Kick, Kevin? You deserve a Nut Kick, Kevin.
I'm gonna assume that the product is designed to appeal to the female demographic because I do not like it.
Well, it's a popular candy bar in Finland, and a lot of women would like to give, probably like to give me one of those, actually.
I'm not even in the mood for a candy bar now, and I'm a fat guy.
But wait, the weird thing is that Finland doesn't stop there, Kevin. Kevin, they don't stop there. They get worse.
I'm not
just those snacks, mega pussy.
Oh, maybe I could eat a little. It's a miracle, Danny, but I could maybe muscle some of that down.
Yeah, I'm starving suddenly. Mega pussies. Pussy. I pluralized it. Is it a bag of mega pussies or is it like, I don't know. Is it one mega pussy like broken up into tiny little micro pussies?
Like an ocean with several little bays.
These are cheddar flavored corn snacks like Finnish Cheetos, but mega pussy means it's the mega size bag, not that it tastes like, you know,
like cat.
Nice save. Nice save. Exactly. You know, it is a finger food. moving on. No, I'm not moving on. Think about it. It sounds like mega pussy sounds like it's something you'd pay to see at a monster truck rally at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. It's mega pussy.
Okay, serious question. So you eat some Cheetos, you get Cheeto fingers, right?
Yeah.
What happens after the bag of mega pussy?
You get mega fingers. No, let's just stop. Let's go to the next one. This one's got to be better, right? Let's see the next one. Oh, I don't see anything. We lost our background. There we go. Oh, no, it's not better. It's not better at all. Oh, fresh semen dip. Oh, that's disgusting. That's going to be a hard no for me, dog.
It's a spicy tomato garlic dip from Turkey. What party's complete without a little semen dip?
Pretty much every party. for me is fine without it. I'm just glad it's fresh. Nothing worse than finding old semen at a party.
So you don't have to tell me.
Oh God, who wrote this? Next, we found only puke. These are real products names. You believe that? I'm just glad to know that there is only puke in there.
Nothing artificial. No fillers. Fully organic.
Straight from the stomach. Apparently, it's not actually made of puke. It's, what is it? Chinese honey bean cracker.
Like the song the Planters did in the 50s?
The Platters?
Same thing.
Only you can make my gut feel right. I miss karaoke. Anyway, and then when you've had enough of all these horrible sounding snacks, you can crack open a can of Virginia to wash it all down. A can of Virginia. Doesn't that sound refreshing?
Sounds like the sommelier is going to give it to you with some mega pussy.
Oh my God. Virginia and mega pussy. What a great snack for a Super Bowl. This is a Greek beer. It's said to have a light hoppy flavor with hints of malt. That sounds like they need an ointment for that.
Well, that's it. That'll help me stick to my diet.
Of beer? You died of beer. All I drink is Virginia. That's my diet. All right. I'm very excited about tonight's show. Our first guest, I'm stoked. Are you stoked? Are you ready?
I'm pumped. Who's our first guest, Danny? Tell us about it.
This is our first show that's L.A., New York, bro. L.A., New York. All right. This guy, our first guest, I love this guy. He's a board member from L.A. Make-A-Wish. He's the CEO of the Chula Group Consulting, master thespian since grade 9, cancer survivor, COVID survivor, motorcycle accident survivor, and soon a comedy writer and survivor of this show. This show is going to be his hardest test.
It hits hard. It does.
Please welcome writer, producer, and wishmaker, Michael Chichula.
Hello.
What's up, brother?
What's up, man? I'm not looking forward to the gift basket from your show, that's for sure. It's going to be covered in semen dip and vagina.
What's the party?
And Virginia beer.
It's the party with that. And the after party.
I know, right? Does that go over the plastic when you send it out? Holy smoke. That was too. I was sweating. I was sweating, man. That was unreal. Yeah.
So I got to tell you guys a little bit. I didn't even tell the staff or the writers about how we met, Michael. Mm. But I got to tell this story because every time I just think of this story, it's insane. So I didn't know Mike. I call him Mike. What do you go by? What do most people call you, Mike?
Yeah. Well, I can't say it on the show, but Mike is good.
I think Mike, with everything we've already said, you could say it.
Mike is fine. That'll do perfect.
Well, that's what I always called you. But yeah, I didn't know Mike at all. And I was on Facebook and I had just gotten back to LA and I left my wallet in the back pocket of the seat in front of me. And so I knew it was there. And I called him literally 15 minutes later. I was in the Uber home and I called him up and I was like, I left it there. And they go, sorry, we didn't find it. And I was like, get out of here. There's no way. Like, people leaving just want to get off the plane. So nobody, you know, unless the flight stole my wallet, there's no way. Right. And so I posted about it on Facebook. I was pissed off. Mike comments and he goes, which airline? And I told him, and he goes, give me 15 minutes. 15 minutes later, the airline calls me, go, is this Mr. McDermott? I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. They go, sir, we are so sorry. We have your wallet. We have it. It's ready for you, blah, blah, blah. But 15 minutes later, Mike, I don't know how you did it. How did you do that, by the way?
That was some magician work. I'm going to tell you right now. I offered them a bag of puke. I'm just kidding. Just puked and they fell for it. No, I just had some contacts at the in the government that helped me out. So
that's crazy. Then okay, so that was when I first met, and I didn't even meet him yet. So I thought, what a great guy, right? What a great guy. I think it was what maybe a month or two later, I was broke. This is when I was first in LA. I was broke. I had a $600 freaking car, Honda something. I don't even think they had a brand name for it, but it was the head gasket blew. It was done. I had all this garbage and shit in the car, and Mike sees the post on Facebook. He goes, "Where are you?" And I told him, and this guy shows up in his convertible Mercedes, gold convertible Mercedes that he paid cash for, and starts to help me unload. I never met him. And he starts to help me unload all this garbage and garbage bags, all this stuff from my car into his car, drives me to my house. We go inside. It's like a back house. It's crapped. It's I called it a spider crack house because there were spiders everywhere. And we had a couple beers. You watch some of my stuff and you go, "I want to help you." And all of this started was because you had beat cancer and you wanted to start helping people. And you just, for some reason, chose me as one of those people to help. And then we became friends. We've been friends ever since.
It was your profile picture. It was sad, actually. But I think
it was sad, wasn't it?
It was. It was like a nut kick. Terrible. No, but yeah, I mean, you know, if we learn anything these days, it's help people out. You know, that's what we need to do going forward. Just help folks out. And, you know, I think that's what we could all take a page out of that book. But, you know, the show's hilarious, though. I'll tell you, I've been watching for a few weeks. You guys are putting on a great show. So I appreciate having me on and talking a little bit about what's going on. So it's good.
Thanks, brother. Now, let's talk about Make-A-Wish. How did you get involved?
So a friend of mine actually was the chairman of the board and contacted me and said, "Hey, you know, we want to have someone on there that has a little bit more of a technology background and could help us do some consulting about raising money for the kids." And we've done quite a bit in raising money, especially over, during COVID. We partnered with several organizations, as well as I don't know if you probably haven't, but have you heard of RW Quarantunes? So RW Quarantunes was started by Richard Weiss. He's an agent in Los Angeles, but he's agent for, I mean, massive stars, music across the board. And so he put together these quarantunes for his daughter's 17th birthday. And folks who are showing up are like Seal and we've had Mark Hamill and we've had all these folks, but by the hundreds they're showing up. All these producers, executive producers, were showing up. So we did a Make-A-Wish evening and we raised about $750,000 in that one show that he did for 1 hour. Well, actually, it was more than 1 hour. We did Make-A-Wish for an hour, but he had people coming in singing. Josh Groban sang a song. We had just bunches of people there. And like I said, stars that you would not believe who were there. And like I said, directors, producers, the guy who did Hamilton was on there. Stevie Wonder sang songs. Michael Bolton sang songs. And this was just a one-on-one, interaction with them and whoever was on the phone. So it was, or on the call, exclusive invite only. So I did about four or five of those and, you know, chatted with Mark Hamill and several of those folks and just said, you know, love your work and, you know, appreciate, all the joy you give and bring. And, you know, it was just something like that. So that's what I've been up to. And of course, running my own shop. So, and then watching your show, you know,
that's usually one quarter of most people's lives who watch this show is watching my show. That's like,
actually, you know, Biden had it on. That's why Trump left. He got in the helicopter. He's like, "I'm out of here."
Speaking of Make-A-Wish, I think Kevin needs Make-A-Wish because he's got half a skull, as you can see by his.
I accidentally left 70,000 pounds of gold in a vault somewhere. I get a phone call in about 15 minutes because that would be pretty cool. That would be my wish.
That would be great. And if it just fell out of the sky right in your living room, it'd be perfect.
Now, Michael, Michael's going to probably be working on, he's going to at some point be helping me with my movie Father Reaper. That's one of the other reasons we really connected too, because you love that script. Now you've got a couple projects you're working on right now. What are the projects you got a couple of them, right?
Yeah. So the first one that we're working on right now is called Nexorcist, and it has to do with a nerdy exorcist. It's a nerdy person who's been possessed, and you know, they're actually trying to do an exorcism on them, and the priest is an Irish priest that is questioning his own sexuality identification, and doesn't know if he's a he, him, or she, him, or it, and trying to
sounds
figure
like Kevin.
Exactly. And I thought of Danny McDermott. Who better to play this role than Danny McDermott as a confused, sexually confused Irish priest trying to do an exorcism, you know?
Well, I do have a very intense. I do have a very intense man looking at my neck right now.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
So really.
So that's gonna the first one. It's kind of around that type of thing where it's just a spoof comedy type of thing on exorcism, but it does have some jump things in there to be a little bit scary. The next one that we're working on is called The Underground. This is a little bit more personal. So my father actually back in the day was captured by the Nazis in World War II. He was from Ukraine, and they were Christians. They weren't, they were Catholics, Orthodox to be honest, but because they wouldn't join the Nazi party, they killed his brother right in front of him. And then they all went to the Lvov work camp and built shells for the Nazi army. And then the side of the building was exploded. They all escaped. But as part of that, his uncles and some of his other cousins joined a faction called the Ukrainian Underground. And Ukrainian Underground, they spoke several languages. So when you lived in that part of Europe at the time, you had to speak Russians because you were invaded by Russians, Germans because there's tons of Germans, Polish, Yugoslavian, Ukraine. So my father, when he was alive, he spoke 8-10 languages. But all these folks spoke German. So they'd go into these camps, and when people would fall asleep at night, they go around killing them, and then they run out, right? So they kill as many as they could until either they were noticed, captured, or killed, and then they would try to escape. And that's a true story. This is what they would do. So we're writing a story on that, somewhat of a horror twist on it, that after they kill them, they actually are a little bit vampiric, trying to learn the plans of the Russian or the German military. So, just something different. Try to figure it out. That's what we're working on now. Those two,
like a lighthearted. Sounds like a lighthearted comedy.
Children's show. Saturday morning we're all over.
Yeah. It's gonna have a lot of lounge chairs in it. Actually, you were talking about that lounge chair. So the first waxing of my gooch came when I was about 19 years old in July at a fraternity party. And I thought that penguin jumping around actually did that, had his first gooch waxing sitting in a burker lounger.
Oh my God. Dude. Like.
For the children at home, gooch waxing is the term in the produce industry where they add weight to fruit. It's nothing sexual or anything. There's nothing like that going on at
it's
all.
It's the wax coating they put on apples, right? In Turkey, they call that the semen dip.
That's what I remember.
Certain melons.
It's at the breast munchies. They call those nipple nuggets over in Yugoslavia, wherever.
I remember the first time I got waxed, and it was because a woman made me do it.
Oh, wow. Really?
That supermodel I was dating that stabbed me with a steak knife.
Oh, wow. Was that during the waxing?
No, she stabbed me much later.
Wax on! No? No wax off.
You know what? We're going to put a link. Later. Yeah, we're going to put a link into the interview where I talk about getting stabbed, and there's some animation there. Don't forget to do that, Susanna. Yeah. But we got a segment we'd like to do with you here.
Okay.
This is one of our segments we do, and we've got to decide if it's news or if it's not real news, if it's a lie.
Ah.
All right?
Okay. Sure.
All right, here we go.
Pennsylvania or poppycock.
All right. So we're going to decide if this really happened in Pennsylvania or if it's a made up thing. First one, Carbon County garbage collectors got a big surprise along their route when they discovered a bear riding on top of their trash truck.
Was it a gummy bear? I will say that that is true. Maybe I think it's true. Yeah.
It seems true to me. What do you think, Kevin?
Since you both said Pennsylvania, I'm going to go poppycock and say that sounds more of a Kentucky thing.
Yeah, yeah. Are there bears in Kentucky?
They're riding on top of garbage trucks.
Okay, so Kevin's cock popping, and we're going with Pennsylvania. Perfect.
There you go. All right, what's the answer, Susanna? Pennsylvania. Authorities in Kidder Township shared incredible – look at that. Oh, my God.
See?
Incredible photos of a black bear that had managed to climb on top of the trash truck. They drove to the local police station. Why?
We hit the mother load.
To set him free at the police station where the truck backed up to a tree so the bear could make his way down. Wow. Look at the size of that bear.
Maybe the city only has one tree and it's by the police station.
Right.
Quick, get to the tree.
Right. Oh, my God. All right, next one.
All right, let's see.
Next one.
All right, cool.
What do we got? A fast food drive-through cashier got a Thanksgiving surprise this past November when a customer pulled up to her window with a live turkey on his lap.
What was the expression on the turkey's face?
No chance. I got poppy shot.
Was it surprise? Like
was he poultry?
That turkey certainly.
Were the legs cut? Coming.
He was stuffing the turkey on his way through.
Did he have a nice breast?
What sound did they hear?
I'm going to say poppycock here.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's true. Poppycock. Turkeys are prevalent throughout Pennsylvania, but as far as we know, none have showed up at a drive-thru, at least the feathered kind. Dude!
Yeah, I knew that.
We all got it. And seriously, I don't even know the answers to these. So, all right, next one. Three Pennsylvania teens were charged with disorderly conduct after allegedly plastering a home and pair of cars with cheese slices.
Well, that sounds like something I would do.
You ever see Cheese the Baby, where you throw the cheese on the baby and the baby's like a slice of cheese? Do it to Kevin. Kevin does the same thing.
And they're yelling cheers the whole time. Cheers! Cheers!
Depending on where in Pennsylvania, that cheese may have doubled the value of the house.
Or the car.
That sounds like a lot of cheese, though. I'm going to say poppycock.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Oh, we didn't get the guess.
Yeah, it's poppycock.
I'll say Pennsylvania. Is
it Bobby? Go ahead. Put it up. It's okay. We may as well find out. It's on and off. It's like.
We have to read it.
I forgot to put that one in there. I'm sorry.
Oh.
We need an answer. Poppycock or Pennsylvania.
I'll give you an answer. Give me one.
Why don't you read it to us? We didn't see it.
I want everybody to meet Susanna. She's our engineer.
Hi.
Without her, the show would not be as great as it is. Go ahead. Give us the answer, Susanna.
It was Pennsylvania.
Yes.
There was no official word as to what the team's decision to cover up the property with cheese, nor is there a confirmation on the variety of cheese that's used at the park.
So I'm so sorry.
It sounds like they were really looking for a news story.
The largest grilled cheese ever. This was in July.
All right. Okay, here we go. An employee of a Philadelphia parking authority accidentally tweeted porn to a woman who asked about her parking ticket. That sounds real.
I don't know. I think that's
that sounds like all 50 states, let alone Pennsylvania. You name the state, I say it happened.
I mean, how many times has it happened? You know, the guy just got caught jerking off during a Zoom meeting. I'm gonna say Pennsylvania.
This porn thing turns out to be popular. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't think that's true.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's awesome.
The woman who had sent a message to the PPA because she had misplaced her parking ticket, which she needed to pay the fine online. They slid into her DMs, and along with the necessary information, included a link to a Pornhub video. Dude, Pornhub is getting so much press for COVID. right? You know, maybe Pornhub. Maybe Pornhub created the virus. That's all I'm saying.
I would have sent the tweet back, and I would have said, "Man, these tickets are getting expensive."
Porn prevents viruses, Danny.
Oh my god! Viruses.
All right, how many do we have left?
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Okay, here we go. The emergency alert system at a Pennsylvania TV station was hacked during a show to send out a message that the zombie apocalypse was coming.
Oh, that's true.
You think it's true?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. It sounds like someone's copying War of the Worlds.
They'll never find me, bro.
I'm going to say poppycock for the story, but not for the zombie apocalypse.
Well, yeah. Okay, Kevin. It did happen in Montana during the Steve Wilco show.
See?
I have no idea what that show is, but he owes us some money.
He was the security guard on whatchamacallit? Springer, who broke off and did his own
show. Right.
Steve Wilco. Right.
Is that it? Do we have any more? How are we doing? Susanna, come on for a second. One more? No, that's it? Okay, that's good. All right, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I love you, bro. Where can people find you? He sings opera, by the way, guys. You got to see him sing opera. Oh, my God. Wow. We do karaoke together, and I barely am able to follow him because I just put a lot of more passion into the rock and roll. But
yes,
to follow his – It erupts in applause with his opera. So give us one opera note.
No.
Scream, man.
No. Ain't happening.
Dude, he just beat COVID.
There's my Twitter, chuchulagroup.com. Check it out. Anyway, thanks for having me, Danny, Kevin. Thank you, Suzanne, pleasure. Carrie, everybody. Cheers. Talk to you guys
soon. You're the
soon.
Best, brother.
Love you guys.
Thank Talk you. To you soon.
Great time.
He's great, man, right?
That was fun.
He's great. I am really, really excited about this next guest. This guy, I met him at the comic strip years ago. And he was, you know, when you go into a new comedy club as a new comic, not all the comics treat you very good. It's just a fact. You know what I mean? You walk in, and Brian was one of the guys that was really nice to me. So I think some of the comics were mad because I became friends with the owner of the comic strip, but Brian was one of the nicest guys there. And we hung out a lot, and he even read one of my scripts and wrote he loved it. Let's put it that way. Anyway, guys, you're going to love this guy. He's a genius actor. He's a writer. He's a legendary comedian. He's known for the Ice Age movie series, Robots 2005, and The Secret Life of Walter Mitty in 2012, many other things. He's got more IMDb than Rick Overton. Please, let's welcome Brian Scott McFadden, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, what a now All that right. What was that a build up? That was an intro right there, Danny. That was legendary. More IMDb. That was awesome. I can't hold a candle to what I just witnessed. However, Michael Chichula is like, you know what I mean? He's finding people's wallets. He's his family's in the Ukrainian underworld fighting the Nazis. He sings opera. You know what I mean? It's like
between granting wishes.
Right. He's like Harriet Tubman meets Oscar Schindler meets Pavarotti. What am I got? I got nothing. Okay. And he'll wax your gooch, whatever the hell that means. So I don't even know. He will wax your gooch for food. I don't even know. You're doing porn. This is a classy show. Can I just say that? This is very
classy. Thank you.
Demon dip and mega pussy and vagina breast munchies and porn hub stories. Can we go back to the bear thing? Why was the bear on the truck? Did he think that Leo DiCaprio was up there or something? He can get another revenant rape in before, you know what I mean? I'm killing right now on this show. I really
you are.
Am.
You're killing on this show.
How does Michael Chichula know shit's going on? Is he like, Is he like some mega villain somewhere that's covering this up with this like facade? But he goes on Facebook, he finds random posts, and then he just shows up to help people. Touched by an angel, it's touched by an angel meets, I don't know, like what's that super villain from The Usual Suspects? I don't know. You know. Anyway.
Kaiser Sose.
Kaiser Sose, thank you. I went in a need for a good comedy reference right there. What's up?
Oh my god, dude, you're a fucking genius. That was the best opening I think I've ever seen from any of our guests.
I had to live up to the hype you gave me. You know what I mean? No. You don't always get a good intro in this. A guy brought me up recently. He said this next performer is one of comedy's best kept secrets. Okay. What the hell is that? That's like saying there's a lot of big names in comedy. This next performer is not one of them, okay? He's been keeping a very low profile in this industry and doesn't have much to show for it, treading water and trying not to draw much attention to himself. But here I am with this, you're getting, have you gotten any endorsement deals from Virginia or whatever the hell I'm sure you're going to get a lot of them. You got Virginia semen dip, you know, and the
point. Okay.
Yeah.
In our defense, all that was written by one of our female writers.
Oh, that's great. All right. Yeah. All right. Use the female card. Well played.
Bring her on. Susanna, bring her on. You got to meet her right now.
Here, we're mountain people now. Writer.
Well,
Ryan, this is her.
It is all my fault.
Oh, Carrie, you're responsible. Your fingerprints are all over those bits. Okay. That's awesome. Well done. Well done. You just gave me like 3 minutes of intro material that I could riff off of. I can get out of it.
Your show to riff off of.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You're on the Millennium Falcon. I don't know where Kevin is. I don't know. I don't know what that backdrop is. I'm not sure what's happening there. It's some kind. You look like you're poised for world domination, Kevin. You're an air traffic controller, and you're just about to launch a drone strike. That's
Bitcoin what that is surging, and I'm going to buy Greenland because I heard it was for sale.
Oh, there you go. Trump finally got something right. He's gonna buy the island and finally have a place to, you know. Hopefully, he'll defect. Whatever. Can you do that? I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
Carrie, thank you for being the scapegoat. She actually did write that. Thank you, Carrie.
Congratulations. well written, Carrie. That was great.
She's a great writer. I'm so blessed to have her on.
I got 3 minutes out of it right there. That was beautiful.
Right? Right? Yeah.
Waxing my gooch.
Now, if we just fire Kevin.
That's how you can solo get into the Mile High Club. Denver, I decided to wax my gooch.
Right.
Okay, so Brian, let's actually talk about you now.
No, do we have to? Really? Why? What?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Wait,
Michael Tuchula is writing in. Look at him. He's like, he's sitting in front of 17 different screens, like right now. like a master of the universe. He's looking for people to help or to hurt. I'm not sure which or whatever, you know, but he's in the, the guy's Make a Wish Foundation. He's a Nazi hunter. What the hell is going on? Well, I don't have any credits compared to that. He's a comedian. Good God, man. Here's Bobby, and now Brian McFadden. Okay. You know, that's not going to work. Anyway, what do you want to know?
As everybody already can see right now, how incredibly amazing you are at comedy. Oh, it's fucking amazing. I'm blessed to have met you at the comic strip. I was telling everybody you were one of the guys who was always nice to me. Mm-hmm. And you were never worried. You're not the type of person who gets bitter or worried about other comics ever.
I love watching good comics. I respect great comics. There's nobody. I mean, you know, there's nothing a great, you know, if you love the craft, if you love the art form, there's nothing you like more than to see somebody that's really good. Because you see so much crap, like as a comic, and if you love the art form, you love to see people who are good at it, you know, and people that are good people too. sometimes you get that weird thing where somebody's like the super nice person, and then they go on stage and they're terrible. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And then you don't have know how to thread that needle and go, you know, you're a nice person, but your act is just, whoa, no. Can right. you just write something? No. Right, go home and get a pen or something, or go weld or something. This is not your field, you know. But yeah, whatever.
Go weld or something.
Yeah, go weld or give pony rides or do something. Accomplish something with your life. How's your plague going? How's everything? How's everybody's plague? It's great, isn't it?
I am ready to make out with anybody at this point. Seriously. I'll make out with a mask. I'll do it between the sheet like the Jewish people do. I will do anything it takes at this point.
It's like so funny. Who would have guessed that a disease would come along that would make us all wistful for AIDS? You know what I mean? Like that's how you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying AIDS was great, but we were all working. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the mode of transmission was a lot cooler. I got to say that. You know what I mean? Would you rather hook up with some hot person on a dance floor somewhere or get sneezed on by a fat woman at Applebee's? You know, it's a very different, not nearly as fun. Kevin's not laughing, but at least Andy is.
Kevin's trying to think of his own jokes. Doing it in front of Kevin is like doing it at an open mic.
Oh, okay. That's not good. That's not good.
Well, no, Kevin's awesome. Well, half his brain is gone. That's the problem, as you can see.
That's all right. But this is good. This is actually some talk. I've been doing Zoom shows. That's not as much. It's not fun. Have you been doing the Zoom shows? I mean, the Zoom.
Yeah, I did. Have you done Andy's show, Ventura Comedy Club?
I haven't done that. No.
I should hook you up with that. It's a fun show. He's a good guy. Yeah, I haven't done the virtual stand up though. I've been doing talk shows and you know riffing improvise. How do you feel about these actual stand up comedy?
It's really weird. You know, it's like house arrest Hollywood Squares. You're staring at a screen. It's just really weird, and you're hoping that someone laughs, but you can't really. And I, you know, I had a show so bad on Zoom that people walked out of their own apartments. Hello, okay. Hello. See how easy that was? See what I did there? That was so good. It really is. It really is sad. You're entertaining people in their kitchens. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get while somebody is making an omelet and firing up the NutriBullet. You know, that's not my idea of why I got into this field. You know what I mean? It's just not... you know, you're getting blank stares and people. It's just
people are masturbating.
Yeah, well, on this show probably, promptly, or they're waxing their gooch. Who knows what could happen?
The master of callbacks. You're the master of callbacks.
That's me. A good callback is weird. It doesn't even have to make sense. That's the weird thing about a good callback. It doesn't even have to make sense. Callbacks are the weirdest device in comedy. I've seen, you know, I have a few in my act that don't really, if you really put them on a whiteboard, they really don't add up to much. But if you see them in life, they're like, that was so funny for no reason whatsoever. You cannot work that out on a trigonometry board and graph it out. It makes no sense. But, you know, so.
That's crazy. Dude, you're amazing. You're in Aruba now, right?
Yes, I am. I'm at the Aruba
Ray. What are you doing there?
I'm at Aruba Ray's Comedy Club. Ray Allen has a show here, and it's me, Mike Vecchione, and Lenny Clark, and Katie Hannigan, and it's a great show. We're doing shows.
How long are you there for?
I'm here probably till the end of middle of February. Yeah.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's great, dude.
Yeah. It's a good place to be quarantining. It's a good place.
I was gonna say. I mean, that's like heaven, dude. I was in Aruba.
I know. One of the weirder kind of – it's a great gig because you could be sitting at home, you know, in New York City or something like that. You might as well be in a luxury locale or beautiful
– right?
You know.
Yeah. Have you done any snorkeling or scuba diving there? It's very well known for the scuba diving.
Yeah, no, I haven't scuba'd. We snorkeled last week, and that was pretty cool. We saw turtles. No, yeah. without straws in their mouths. they're cutting down on the
straws. Apparently not all of them get the straws up their nose.
No. There's a big cocaine problem with the turtle community, obviously. And they're blaming us for that, for throwing the torso. But we don't know how many turtles are landing on the beach and then sneaking into the bar area and then grabbing a handful of straws from the barkeep guy and then sneaking back into the ocean because they want to, do a line. Who knows? You know what I mean? People always assume that human beings are the cause of all kind of problems in the world. But have you ever seen like a leopard with a gazelle? It's no day at the beach. It's not a point. They're very cruel. You know what I mean? Nobody said, how come they're allowed to eat animals? I always wondered.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everyone's, vegan. Oh, we got to go vegan. It's like, you know what I mean? They don't, the lions didn't get the memo. They don't seem to care, right?
They're beautiful because they're creatures of the earth.
Yes. I'm tired of
They can be psycho killers all they want.
That's right. I'm tired of these double standards. All right. Everybody, every species needs to live up to the same, level of moral, decency. Right? Right?
Why? Because we're smarter, we have to be better.
Yeah, exactly. Just because we evolved, okay, and we have opposable thumbs and we have a workable brain stem and we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, we're supposed to. Well, Kevin is giving a Roger Ebert shake down there, right? I don't even know what was that. That's not a good sign. Kevin's wavering on this premise. Okay.
I don't think it was about the premise because this premise is awesome.
Oh yeah,
it is. Well, we exist, though. We don't.
I mean, come on, poor species catch up. You know, it's not our problem.
Yep, absolutely. That's what I say.
Maybe you should develop tools.
Yeah, maybe the animal should get on the evolution, fast track and stop complaining.
Right? Fight back, motherfucker.
Yeah, we got our own problem. You know what I mean? How about
humans? Put us in the circle of life.
So we don't politics. We don't do politics on this show. We don't do anything.
No, we don't. No, we talk. We talk about. We're trying to provide an escape, like Steve Martin did in the 70s with his stand up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, nice to know you're keeping up to date.
never ending quest to stay relevant.
That's very sweet. We're not going to go the Mort Saul route, okay? Is that what you're doing? The Steve Martin thing, not the really. You know, there's been a lot of changes and updates in the comedy community, Danny. I don't want to say anything, but yeah.
Come on, aren't you sick of politics, though? Seriously, aren't you sick of it?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, we're sick of it. I can't believe the president got kicked off of the Twitter thing. How do you feel about that? That's my one question. It's not really a political question. It's more of he got kicked off of Twitter. I think that's really fascinating because being kicked off of Twitter and being upset that you were kicked off of Twitter, that's like being mad that you were, kicked off the set of a snuff film. You know what I mean? Like, Twitter's like the worst thing. There is nothing you should be more happy about of being kicked off of than that hellish nightmare known as Twitter. Why would anyone complain? It's like they're doing this poor guy a favor. Anybody, I wish they would throw me off. I'm trying to get kicked off. They won't kick me off. But meanwhile, it's the worst, especially if you're a narcissistically needy person. You know what I mean? Like you're taking the crack pipe away from the guy. That's not a punishment. That's an intervention. You know what I mean? Seriously, no one was talking about that. I was like, the president shouldn't be you know what I mean? Like, what's he gonna do now? How will he fill his time now that they've kicked him off of Twitter? You know what I mean? Like, shouldn't the president be banned from Twitter just on general principle? Forget about what he's saying because he might have something better to do than subtweet. I don't understand that at all. People are like, oh my God, they've kicked him off of Twitter. It's like, good, he's the fucking leader of the free world. I don't want him interacting with 14-year-olds on Twitter and having Twitter fights. You know, he should be checking the perimeter. what a weird dynamic. People are like, oh, it's a violation of free speech. It's like, what are you talking about? That guy should not, he's got a problem. If you're that attached to Twitter, you need someone to sit down and go, no, take, it's like Xbox, take it away from the kid. He's on there too much. You gotta help out. The democracy doesn't want, the founding fathers did not write the Constitution and plan Twitter that you were going to be on TikTok. You know, it's like, I think Hamilton wrote about TikTok back then. I don't know.
I'm just really glad he didn't get into TikTok.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle a Trump TikTok channel.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's my,
what would that be like? Rant. What would that be like? A Trump TikTok?
Yeah. No, I don't even want to think about it. It just, they kick him off. I don't know.
It's huge.
Yeah. What a service to America. What a patriotic move it was to kick the president off of Twitter for the good of the country. I'm not even talking about what he was posting. I'm not even talking about the incendiary stuff. Oh, he tried to start a coup. No, he shouldn't be on Twitter. He shouldn't be, anything, emojis or cat videos. He should not be doing that. The president has identified. Okay. Whatever. All right. So that's my rant over. I guess.
There's so many things you've done, man. You've done, I mean, you know, I was the type of guy, I was always producing my own shows and I never tried to get on the late night talk shows, but you've done Letterman. You've done the Late Show with Craig Ferguson. You've done all these things. How did you, I mean, what made you have that desire to do the late night talk shows and how, what was that like when you first?
Well, when you're a kid, you watch, you know, Carson and Letterman, like we, people from our era. And so that was like the thing that you was just transfixed by. Everybody wanted to do that. And they always say it's the easiest thing to do, but the hardest thing to get, those late night, you know, those spots, which were the most epic thing that you could possibly imagine. I was too young for Carson, you know, I had the misfortune of missing that window, but I did manage to get on Letterman in the later, you know, the later stages. I managed to pull that off, which was like a dream come true for any comedian. And it's just that magical thing that you can just go, you know, I'm standing backstage. I remember just thinking, I'm about to go on Letterman, you know, like it was just surreal to me that I was standing there doing it, you know, and it was just unbelievable. And then he cut one of my jokes right before. Right before I went on. And if you watch the set, you can actually see me go to say the joke. No one would notice it but me. But you know how you're grooved in and you work the set. So I'm like, I'm right in the middle of the thing. And I go to do that one joke that, and it was like, you see me just one nanosecond. You can't. And then I pivot away from it because it's so grooved in, you know. But they told me, no, you don't do that one. Don't do that one. Everything else got okayed. And even that one got okayed at first. And then the last minute they cut it. So I had to kind of improv that one on the fly, you know. So that was
So they didn't edit it out?
What's that?
They didn't edit it.
I edited it. They wanted me to not do it.
You had that look on your face. Yeah, you're like, edit. Anyway. Yeah.
Every comedian knows that you have that thing so down so that you're like going, and then you have to, and then to pivot or change anything, it's jarring because it just flows right out of you. So there's a brief nanosecond on the screen that I can see where I go to do the joke and then I don't do it. And I was like, I almost did the joke. That's like funny. I did a show with, Wanda Sykes Hall one time. She was on before me shooting Louis Anderson's comedy, whatever that was called, Louis Anderson's Comedy World or Louis Late Night with Louis. I don't even remember.
Yeah. I remember that show.
And Wanda was on the same show as me. There was like three comics, and Wanda and I had a similar joke. And so I asked her beforehand. I said, are you going to do that joke that you do? Because I close it. And she goes, no, I'm not doing that one. And then in her set, she goes to do that joke. And I'm sitting in the green room watching her. And that was my closing bit. Like I would have had to write a new closer, like right in the green room, right in the green room. And there was no time for that. I don't even know what I would have done. And she went to do it and she stopped. She pivoted and she went to do something else. And she walked in the green room. And I'll never forget. She goes, I almost did it. And I was like, thank you, Wanda. Thank you. I'll never forget that. Yeah.
Now, you've done a lot of film, too. You did.
I haven't done a lot of film. I'd like to say I've done more film, but I've done a lot of VO work because I started as a voiceover actor. I did a lot of like cartoon voices, and so whenever whenever Ice Age or whatever was up, they had me and some of my friends doing like the one line dinosaurs. I'll be the saber tooth guy. You know what I mean? The saber tooth tigers like. Friend who lives in a garbage can. Yeah. Or the Diplodocus or some weird animal or something like that sitting in a bush somewhere, and I'll come out and go, hey, what are you guys doing there? You know, or something. Yeah, one line dinosaurs. That's my nickname. That's my one line dinosaurs. Carrie Rapport says it's her favorite grunge band. Yes, that's right. And my favorite way to get health insurance. That's basically what I, so if you see those, I think I'm in Ice Age. I'm in Robots too with Robin Williams. I always tell people I did a movie with Robin. I always love to tell people, hey, I was in a movie with Robin Williams and Halle Berry. You know what I mean? Like, right. Like, I never tell them that I was nowhere near Halle Berry and Halle Berry. I was in a studio in Queens recording my part while they were, being chauffeured or jetted to some exotic locale that I was not involved in. But I'm in it, and I still get a credit for that. So I was also the Honey Nut Cheerio Bee. I was the Eminem. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's got a bigger taste and a better crunch. That was me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I wasn't just a one-line dinosaur.
I saw you in Walter Mitty, though.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was great. I had a longer part, and Ben was great to work with, and he liked me, and he had me audition for like three different things, and I did that. I think I read for like three different parts. And then he cast me in this part, and it was longer, and then it got cut down, but still in the movie. I think I'm more in the trailer than the actual film. Like if you see the trailer, I think my voice is all over like that. The final line is, "How'd you get to Afghanistan?" And that's me, where I'm talking to Ben Stiller, and he's tied up. And I always thought that was funny that they cut you. And when I saw Ben at the premiere, he was like, "Oh, you're great. We just had to cut some of your part, but it's you're still in it." And I always thought that's why people. I think that's why most people try to get into porn. You know what I mean? That never happens in porn. You know what I mean? That's one of the best things about porn is you never have that awkward conversation with the producer or the writer or the director.
They cut you out.
Who says, look, Brian, we love you at Eruption Films, but we just feel that your role as the second, the assistant pizza delivery guy, it really didn't propel the protagonist's backstory. You know what I mean?
The focus groups were distracted.
Yeah, a lot of
distracted from the whole.
Said it distracted from the plot, and it
the
didn't,
whole plot was thrown off.
It did not help the arc of the character development. So we decided we want to get you in something else, but just bear with us. But
although we may do a spin-off porn of that character.
Yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, three girls, three cups or something. I don't know, whatever. Two mugs, I don't know. two girls, four mugs. I don't even know. But anyway, so yeah, so that's
What about Murphy Brown?
Oh, that was funny. That was another. That's one of those weird things where, again, I got called to audition for a VO, and it was the Turkey Hotline guy. The Turkey Hotline guy. So yeah, that was really funny. It was a Murphy Brown Thanksgiving Day episode, and basically they just wanted a guy she calls the Turkey Hotline, which they actually have. Butterball has a Turkey Hotline. If you're in some kind of 911 crisis with your turkey, or you need to talk about the red, or you need tech support for your drumstick is offline or something. I don't even know, but so they had me they had me, and it's just a boring guy. Yeah, hi, this is Ken, Turkey Hotline. How can I help you? And they, it was great because I got to ad lib on the show and be on set and just interact with Candace Bergen, and it was really, really funny. You know, it was really funny.
You sounded a little like Fred Stoller there for a minute.
Yeah, I have a Fred Stoller. Yeah. I what's that Fred Stoller? I always used to love Fred Stoller. Had a great joke. He goes, I can't remember, but he had that nerdy sound, but he had that. I had one joke that I always remember, and he goes, yeah, I don't get along with my mother. I said to her the other day, Mrs. Stoller, you know, that's I always thought that was really funny. You know, I didn't have a close relationship with my mother. Stoller. Anyway, yeah. So that's my Fred Stoller tribute.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. I had him on three failed projects.
Failed projects. I can't wait to be on one of your failed projects. I hear that you're very big on that. You have some of the most prestigious projects that went nowhere of anyone in this field. I think that's awesome. Of all the people I know, you have so many things that are really, you know, sitting in turnaround right now. You know, right?
Like, it's just true.
Lawsuits. I know. You've told me about many of them, and I think it's awesome. Yes, failed projects of Danny.
Well, they're not failed. They're still ready to go, man. They're on their way.
Isn't that a Rudyard Kipling poem? That sounds like a Rudyard Kipling poem, doesn't it? The failed projects of Danny. Anyway, she was just going to say that. The failed projects of Danny. There was a live man one time, you know, Danny McCormick was his name. And he tried to get a few things green lighted, but nothing ever came of anything. So he had a lot of friends that just sat and did nothing, and he had a lot of footage of them. But then there were legal problems, and people got fired, and nobody made any fucking money. You know, it was horrible. Anyway, whatever.
I should have known. My first meeting was Fred Stoller. I should have known. I was doing a podcast, and all of a sudden it was torrential rain in LA. Mm-hmm. And I'm running through the torrential rain with my recorder, and the batteries were dead when I got to him. Okay. So he's sitting there. We're both soaked. You know, we're at the marketplace.
Where?
In LA. You know,
that's your turf. I'm a New Yorker, man.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. You never made the LA move.
No, I was out there for I've been out there a couple times, 6 months here and there, you know, auditioning for things when I did Craig Ferguson and had some sitcom audition things and stuff like that. But I never moved out there, you know. I was always a New York guy. You know, I always loved the fact that I could do like 20 spots in the city. That was always a big allure. That was always a big allure. And that's on hold right now for who knows when.
That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. You know, LA, when I moved out here, LA comics are like, well, what's the comedy scene like in New York? And I'm like, well, compared to this is like non-existent compared to New York. Right, New York, you literally have so many rooms and so many comedy clubs that you could perform at. That you're going to be a better comic if you are a comic in New York. You just are.
Yeah, but that's why. But that you're here, and this is where all these projects that you have on hold all the projects that you have that are frozen in legal turnaround or whatever. That's all good. I've got. I'm pitching shows. We all have our show ideas or whatever.
I've always been grateful that you read my action script. That was my first action script I ever wrote.
Good. That was really good.
You gave me a great, and to me, honestly, I think you know this. I feel like you're one of the most intelligent comedians out there right now. I really do though. I mean, it's obvious the way you fucking opened up this show today. you're unbelievable. That was amazing. You were riffing like a madman. But I when you gave me those compliments about that script, that made me realize, you know, because the producer that I was showing the script to, he wanted all these changes. I'm like, you know what? Maybe he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. There's a lot of people in this business who don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that was a very impressive. That was a very impressive, prodigiously. You went all out on that thing. I remember because I was like, oh, you really put a lot into this. You didn't go small ball on this. This isn't a man and his son going across the country. This had the time bending time and everything else in it. It was ultra sci-fi complicated and had characters. There's some touching stuff in it. It was really cool. I remember.
Well, that meant a lot to me that you really enjoyed that. And I'm grateful that you came on the show tonight, man. You're amazing. Yeah. Where can people find you?
Well, I'm pitching a show called it's based on Gilligan's Island, a remake for it's less threatening for millennials. It's called Gilligan's Peninsula.
I was waiting. I was like, is this serious?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. So you can look for me on Gilligan. Yeah, if that thing goes, you know what I mean? It's not as scary because they're only surrounded on three sides by water. So, you know what I mean? There's something good there. No, I'm on Twitter. Find me on Twitter, B. Scott McFadden. And what else? I got, you know what bothers me in show business? Doesn't it bother you, Danny? One last thing. Doesn't it bother you that what bothers me is that I've been in show business my whole, like forever, number of decades, and Bigfoot got a show before I did. Does that bother anybody else but me? You know what I mean? Like, he's got 15 seasons and he doesn't even exist. You know what I mean? That is the weirdest. It's unbelievable. 15 seasons. And, you know, how do you renegotiate that contract? Look, my client is not happy. You know what I mean? My client is not happy. Well, he's a myth. Well, yes, but even a myth has needs. You know what I mean? Whatever. B. Scott McFadden on Twitter. Follow me. And BrianScottMcFadden.com. And you can find me on YouTube. I got some stuff on there. And whatever. I think that's about it. I'll be at the Aruba Rays Comedy Club in Aruba. If you're in the area, anybody, or just drive over, you know, or take a submarine, and yeah, and that's it.
All right,
and I'll be waxing my gooch later. So you know, what I mean, there's that. So
good.
Oh, Brian, amazing, amazing, amazing! You can come on the show anytime you want. I'm grateful you came on the show. Thank you so much, man. Brother.
All right,
and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, bro.
All right, man. Oh my God, he made me laugh so hard, man.
He got a lot of mileage out of the waxing of the gooch.
Oh my God, he's so funny. He's so funny. Guys, we got one more thing before we go. We got our segment from our very close friend at South Park. We got a big thing going on here. And are we ready? Are we ready for this?
What is the subgenre of the month?
What's up, brother?
Dude, I'm doing dry January and it is boring, bro.
That sounds sexual.
How you doing, gentlemen? How you doing?
Dry January.
Dry January on all fronts.
It's been dry since March for me.
Oh, snap. Apparently there's a cream for that. Thank you, Kerry. That's good. Gentlemen, I've got some fun stuff for you tonight.
All right.
I imagine you can see the theme that I'm doing. It's basically thrillers, the subgenre of thrillers, yuppies in peril. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Yes. So basically, this is a slightly forgotten...
Because yuppies in peril, you know, that's what we can all relate to. That brings the depth and it brings, you know what, it brings the stakes up. Yuppies in peril.
It does, because apparently Hollywood in the late 80s and 90s thought the consumers were all yuppies, or we at least looked up to them. We wanted to be a yuppie. So the minute they were in peril, that's a movie. So basically, the late 80s and early to mid 90s was really the heyday. And I'm just going to start throwing them out. If you want to start doing a marathon with the Yuppie in Peril movies, you're going to have to start with these two right there. Boom. Fatal Attraction and Disclosure. Michael Douglas double feature. Getting into some hot water.
Those movies are insanely good. People don't even realize how good, especially actually both of them, Basic Instinct was insanely good. They're both, who wrote those? Who, tell us about those a little bit.
I think Adrian Lin directed Fatal Attraction. Who wrote it? It's a good question because it's a hell of a movie. Who wrote it? Oh, dude, Michael Crichton totally did Disclosure. So I'm not surprised. But just watching Michael Douglas get into some hot water is really kind of like enjoyable. And nobody plays a better villain than Glenn Close. So that's a good way to start. I've got a few more that I'm just going to kind of like rattle through. And I know you've seen some of these. So if you have any comments on these, please chime in. Okay. So probably the top of the Yuppie in Peril is Dead Calm. Nicole Kidman, Sam Neill, and a creepy Billy Zane.
Ah, there you go.
I don't know if you ever
met Billy Zane at the, I met Billy Zane at the urinal at LA Opera.
Was he creepy or was he awesomely quiet?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
You guys spoke as you were.
No, we talked. We talked. We actually, he was
at
relaxed.
The urinal? Cool.
At the urinal, yes.
You don't talk at a urinal.
Let's segue. Let's talk about this.
You stare straight ahead. You finish your business. You get the hell out of there.
I was in a hurry. You don't breathe deeply. I was in a hurry. I ran in. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like that. And he's like, had to go bad, huh? And then we just started talking. And we afterwards, we were washing hands, talking. We go outside. We're talking. And then I said, you know, you should take a look at my script. He goes, talk to my agent.
You didn't meet Billy Zane. I'm just kidding.
I did.
No, okay. That's a line from Mr. Mom.
Mike says we kissed. We did not kiss.
As soon as you zipped your trousers, he wanted nothing to do with you.
Like, this action's over. On that note,
all right, next
Yuppies in Peril doesn't get any better than Single White Female.
Ah, great movie. Okay?
Jennifer Jason Leigh is just creep wagon. Okay, and there's a lot of, every movie has the same theme, they're all creep. Okay, if you want to go hardcore, sorry,
they're all stalkers.
Oh, absolutely, or they want to assume identities, they want to assume the life. They want the wife, whatever it is. It's all like kind of the same idea. Or you're a professional squatter, Michael Keaton in Pacific Heights.
Oh, yeah.
This one is a dirty one.
My father watched that one. He goes, I hate him. He goes, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to kill him in that movie.
Yeah, it was Batman as a squatter. It was incredible. Batman in the attic, exactly.
Batman in the attic.
Yeah. So there's a couple ones on the side that really kind of fall by the wayside. They don't really get a lot of respect, but Fear is a pretty goddamn good Yuppie in Peril.
I like Alicia Silverstone.
I do too, but this is not Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, it's not? No. I thought she was in it.
This is Reese Witherspoon. You're probably thinking of The Crush with Carrie Ewes, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. Reese Witherspoon, she's an amazing actress. She's an amazing actress.
She is an amazing actress, yes.
Did I say amazing today?
Yeah. Hey, man, I have no entertainment. It's dry January, so I have to go for where I can.
Well, I'm in California. I think it's time to vape.
Oh, nice. Batman in the closet. I'm seeing all these killer chats coming in. But yeah, Mark Wahlberg as a creep is awesome. So if you're looking for something that you want to shower after, this is the one.
I do that after every one of these shows.
I'm with you. I'm just kidding. So just kind of rattling through the long list, but I'll try to make it quick. Nothing's better than Kurt Russell and Breakdown. His wife goes missing, and he does not let up trying to find her. Yuppies in Peril. Yep. Boom. Yep.
Not a realistic story. His totally wife goes missing, and the house doesn't get fucking cleaned for months.
Nope. It's a total real picture.
Especially in the 80s. There was no...
That's what he was pissed about. That's why I wanted to find her.
So you've seen it. Yeah. It's a good
thing. It's cook itself. That's terrible.
Judgment Night with Emilio.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Leary and Everlast.
Dennis Leary was great in that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've had this for a while, but I've only seen it once in the theater, like 25 years ago. But it's on the list because it's totally Yuppies in Peril. The end.
Awesome, dude. Awesome job, man.
Well, I got great two more. Movies. No, not the end. More. The end of that movie.
Gotcha.
I say the last
don't
two.
Don't confuse me.
The Yuppies are still being imperiled, Danny.
Yes.
Don't you worry.
Nothing's better than Rebecca De Mornay. This is probably the creme de la creme directed by Curtis Hanson, who went on to do 8 Mile. He did L.A. Confidential, God Rest His Soul. Rebecca De Mornay fucking slays this movie. I've probably seen it 50 times. It's really like a Lifetime movie on acid. and I remember I saw it 3 or 4 times in the theater, and it was, there was so much audience participation, people yelling at the screen, like what to do, what not to do. So it was really kind of a gem.
I liked her better in Risky Business.
Oh, did you? You liked her smaller role in Risky Business. I'm with you. Kind of stole the show.
Dude, she was great in that. Anyway.
Well, last but not least, Unlawful Entry. Okay.
Oh, Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta is a cop who gets too close. And now this is literally probably the coolest idea. I mean, what are you going to do to a cop who wants to get close to your wife or just your wife? You know, like it's really an interesting formula that they played with. They went on to do another one years later, Lakeview Terrace with Sam Jackson. And that one was, I think, 2008 or so. It was actually pretty enjoyable. So this is a more recent Yuppie in Peril movie. All these movies are streaming, so just, you know, look into them if you want. But Lakeview Terrace is a pretty kick-ass, enjoyable Yuppies in Peril. And there's one more. Intruder with Dennis Quaid. And I got to tell you, he really brings it, but this movie kind of failed, in my opinion. All the elements are there, but it just kind of fell short. If you're interested in seeing the latest Yuppie in Peril, this is the latest one. Otherwise, I'd recommend The Gift with Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton. That one was fucking crazy.
Jason Bateman, in my opinion, is one of the greatest actor producers out there. I mean, he really is. Director, he's an incredible talent, man. Who would have known from Silver Spoons?
and the Intruder is a terrible name. I hear Intruder and I'm thinking to myself, what do we have here? Is this a sex toy? Is this a serial killer? Is this a masked professional wrestler?
You know, you're absolutely right. I believe. Remember the movie Top Secret back in the day?
That's what your ex, that's what your ex called it, the Intruder.
Val Kilmer movie? Anybody?
Wait, the Val Kilmer? What? Which one?
A movie called Top Secret.
Yes.
They had the anal intruder. It was like this sight gag. It was basically like a sex toy. It was, I think, in like the background. But yeah, that's the first time I heard the word intruder. I think it was 7. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, anal intruder.
I think I saw him.
What a great way to end the
show. I think I saw him beat Rey Mysterio at the Garden.
Uh huh.
Let's just, you know what? Let's just end the show on an anal joke.
Anal intruder. There you go.
All right. That's we'll go out the back door.
Oh my god.
Perfect. Where so yeah, come from? Yuppies in Peril. Look into it. These movies are so kick-ass. They're enjoyable. They're great. Not for dry January, but they're great in general. Make a stiff drink, smoke something, whatever. These are great popcorn flicks.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Anthony.
Yep.
You're the fucking best, bro. What a great show tonight.
Good
Thank
night.
You. What a great show. Kevin. What do you think?
Danny,
I think we had a great show tonight.
I had a good time.
I'm in LA in a mansion right now, and there's a bunch of, people. Not a bunch. We're being safe.
I'm in Tahiti, but my head is back in New York.
I got over COVID anyway, and I hope nobody gets it. Guys, be safe. Wear your masks, and don't drink any of or eat any of those. Those products that we brought and showed you earlier. Guys, thank you so much. Kevin, great job tonight. You're fired.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nope.
Nope.